Well, God bless you all. Brother David mentioned the last time we got together, put in a prayer request for a brother by the name of Ben Meyer, who had a massive heart attack the night before last Wednesday's Bible study. And we all got together and we prayed, and as we have many times getting together and praying, just felt right then and there that the Lord was just going to answer awesomely, and he did. Got a report back from Ben's brother Tom that Ben is doing good, he's recovering, and they still haven't investigated how much damage was done, but that no more damage is being done. He did have 90 plus percent of his arteries. I can't remember which one was blocked. So it was a very, very dicey indeed. So,
all right, folks. Well, we had a little trouble hearing from Kevin there. Okay, well, Darren Gallant has an awesome testimony he wants to share with us. April Fields actually sent a little bit of Darren's testimony to me. You know, she had sent some books to him and their Bible study, and Darren and his dad and their families and others are having their home church, and he's going to share a testimony with you how he ended up getting into this, and it's pretty good. Go ahead, Darren, take your time and share whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Appreciate it.
Good evening, brothers. I just want to say we're just really grateful for the hand of God in our lives and the way we're seeing the Lord move. This is quite different from when we're involved in the ministry and things over the years in the modern church as we knew it and as we've learned it and as we've been involved with it. There's just so many things that have happened in the past month. Like I said, I'm just so grateful to God. Every word of the Lord, and everything He says, I mean, we just believe it. We stand on it. We're just seeing amazing moves of God in our midst, and right up even to today. Even after I spoke to some brothers yesterday, some more amazing things happened today. About 4 months ago, I'll just start by saying this. I remember I was sitting at my desk at work. Now I've had a passion for the Lord and for many years, and it's been off and on. Mostly walked away back into things of the world, and I was a musician and played music in the church. Was involved in some leadership in different various churches between here and Pennsylvania. My wife and I have been together for about 8 years. We have 4 daughters. Our fifth daughter, we found out it's a girl, is on the way in December. Praise the Lord. Guess good Lord didn't have a boy in the plans, but that's okay. You know, we just thank Him for what He's doing. The kids are surely a blessing. I was sitting at my desk around 4 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago now, and had to have been really just, you know, feeling a different direction, a pull on my life from the Lord. You know, and really, I got to back this up. I'm not usually one to, flip a Bible open or something to see God speak in a way or answer a question like that. I believe you usually just pray and God will bring confirmation around. But I remember one day sitting at my desk, I just asked the Lord, I just come before the Lord, and I said, God, you know, what is it that you really want me to do with my life? Because I know that I'm feeling a pull in a different direction. I mean, just everything here in the business is starting to dry up. The river's going dry. What is it that you would have us to do? I opened my Bible, just blindly, and put my finger down. I opened my eyes and looked down. It said Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Now, I thought this was, you know, kind of funny, because looking back over the past 10 years, I've had an urge in my heart off and on, but I know I always slip back into the world and just into the lies of the things we were hearing, that it was all right to be the way we were, and just slipping back and forth in the bondage between cigarettes and other various things. And, you know, looking back at this now, I said, you know, there was a lot of times we had an urge to get more involved in the things of the Lord, just to really put our hearts down, put our hands to the plow, and not look back. I've known Pat over the past 7 or 8 years. We were involved in 3 or 4 different churches. I appreciate Roy Moore's testimony from a few weeks back in regards to his testimony about what him and his wife had been through. I can really relate, Brother Moore, to that. Just seeing things that we didn't quite line up with the Word of God. And the more we dug into the Word of God, the more we began to see things, you know, maybe line up under a different light in regards to things like tithing and the prosperity teachings and the word faith movements and things. And there's been a lot of persecution over the years from family and different people. in regards to coming against these things, but my question has always been along, well, why don't I not see these things in the Word of God? Why does it not line up with the Word of God? This is what we really want to stand on. About a couple months back, let me bring it more into the future now, that sums up really, really gleaming over the past, really gleaming over the past 7 or 8 years. But coming back to a few months ago, I remember my dad coming to me, and he's been stirred a lot over the years in similar fashions in regards to doctrine and teachings and things in regards to lining up with the Word of God. He told me about this book he read called Sovereign God, my brother David Eales. And, you know, he really made a point to say, look, you read this book. I'll never forget. I was over at his house about a couple months ago. And he says to me, he says, you know, I read this book from this brother here, and it gave me a revelation of God in through God's Word. And I must stress, I mean, in God's Word, that I've never seen before. It's opened my eyes to things. I'm seeing God in a new way that I've never seen Him before. And my dad, to me, I mean, I'm close to my dad and my mom, and like I say, it moved me in the facet that I'm looking at what he's saying, and I'm looking at how much it affected him, and I'm saying, you know, well, maybe there's something to this. Now, I got to say, up to a couple months ago, I was in a pretty serious state of being in a desert, and if God had carved his name on the front lawn of my house in lightning, I probably would have walked right over and not seen it. That's how far I just was dead inside. I'd been scarred from the things of the church, hurt from walking in the bondage that I walked in. I just got done. One of the things that happened was, I took a copy of this book. Emailed April, like Brother Eales had just said. I emailed April Fields from their website, AmericanLastDays.com, America's Last Days, and she sent me a copy for free. I said, I didn't have the money at the time. She sent it to me. I began to read this book, and I'd say by the end of the first chapter, just looking at it, it took me 6 weeks to read the book. I had to look up every scripture. I had to verify that what I was seeing was really the Word of God. It was just such a revelation. I was reading this, and the conviction of smoking cigarettes. Now, mind me, I should have quit these a long time ago, but it's been very difficult in my flesh. The Spirit of God came over me and my wife in such a way. I mean, my wife had quit a couple weeks before. She just said, I've had enough. You know, she said, you're not going to quit. I'm going to quit. And I sat back, and I was sitting one morning, and I put the cigarettes aside. I said, that's it. I've had enough. I got convicted in the Holy Spirit in such a way like I never have before. To bring that to day three, I remember sitting in my chair upstairs, coming down in the morning, getting ready to go to work. So I own a computer company, so I've got to get kind of free to come and go more so as I feel, as I'm led to. And I was sitting in a reading and spending some quiet time with the Lord. And it was day three, quitting smoking cigarettes, and anybody who's out there has been ever in bondage to these things. Now, I smoked for 24 years. And I was sitting there, and the Spirit of God began to move on me, and I just felt the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know, I wouldn't say an audible voice, but I just felt it really ministered to my spirit and said, you know, if you can't quit these, and you can't put these under submission in your flesh, how are you going to stand in the tribulation when the real times that we need to be Christians and stand and abide in Christ and stand in Christ through Him? I mean, how are we going to do this? And it shook me a little. I remember I literally started to shake where I was sitting. And from that moment, the good Lord radically delivered me from cigarettes. I mean, the cravings left that moment. I understood. It was like God just revealed something to me through His Holy Spirit, spoke to me very personally, something that's been hounding me for years. I'm so grateful for that. It is so wonderful to be set free from the bondage and be free in Christ. Really starting to understand that a radical change of a radical turn of events began to transpire in around here, around my house, around in my family, in the life of my dad. I seen my dad become to get stirred to the point where I said, the Lord really is impressing on his heart that he was to walk away from the church that he was currently going to. It just are the things that weren't being taught. And he's looking around, not seeing the signs that follow them that believe, like the Word says, and just wondering why everybody's still sitting after all these years. And we've all been friends for, 15 years in the church plus, and looking at why everybody's still struggling with the same things. And it's like, well, where's the power of God here? Where is what the Bible talks about being free, purged from sin, being purged from us? The Bible says that we will not stumble if we abide in Him. I mean, there's just so many things and promises from the Lord. But see, where are we seeing these things? So my dad, you know, he left the church, and he began to, for about a month's time, him and I would converse on a daily basis, and God began to give us different insights and things, and we were on the same page a lot of things about starting a home church, come out and being separate from the things, or had enough with the lies and false things that were not lining up with the Word of God. And we began to press into God. I said, Lord, you know, this is what you want to do, then, you know, show us, confirm it, you know. I remember I was sitting at my desk and began to pray to the Lord again. This is back in like mid-June, earlier June. I was sitting back at my desk praying to the Lord again, the same question I asked 4 months ago. And I said, you know, Lord, what is it that you want to do with my life? Our business, this is our slowest time of the year. We're sitting around about 7 hours out of the 8 out of the day. I'm sitting here staring at the internet or reading my word, whatever it might be. And what, Lord, what is it that you want to do with my life? What is it you want me to do? I know there's something different. I just have this desire in my heart for the things of God like I've never experienced before. And I prayed to the Lord and I asked him, what is it that you want me to do with my life? Very specific. I said, Lord, you tell me what it is you want to do. And again, I said, well, and I flipped my Bible open, which is something, like I said before, I've never been one to do this. And again, it opened to the same exact scripture as 4 months ago, Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And I said, Lord, I said, I understand this. I said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep tempting you or questioning you. You know, and I turned and grabbed my King James Bible off my study shelf with my reference works and my tools and my study tools and things. I grabbed my King James Bible, dropped it on my desk, flipped it over, put my finger down, looked down, and it was the same verse. And I just, at that point, I just basically said, Lord, I know what you're saying. I understand. I'm sorry, I don't mean to tempt you. I said, but Lord, if in fact you want us to, I said, today we needed to come up with $119 that we have a bill that's due today. We have to pay it. It's already been, we already had sent a check out 2 days before to pay this. It has to be paid. And, you know, and I remember stating that Sunday to my parents. They were asking at church, how's the business going? And I remember stating to my mom, I said, you know, everything is going exactly how God wants it to be. And she said, what do you mean? And he says, you don't have any money. I said, you know what, we got bills, but God's going to supply. He's going to give us the money. So we got, as a matter of fact, we got $119 that needs to come in by the beginning of the week, and God's going to supply it. Amen. Not, you know, and I'm asking the Lord. I'm standing there at my desk and I'm saying, Lord, you know, if this is what you want me to do, that you want me to press into the things of you, so we can move forward with what I believe you're calling us to do in regards to the home church and preaching the gospel to people, just sharing that and serving people. And 5 minutes later, I get a call from client. I end up getting a job that paid $115. I'm like, Lord, it was 119. Not to tempt or question God. I thought it was funny, but I looked on my desk and I didn't realize I'd already had a check that had been sitting there for 3 days that was for $5. So I had them 119 in a matter of 10 minutes after praying that and believing in it, believing the Lord and that he would confirm what he said for me to do. So then we began this journey. We started the host church. You know, it's been amazing to see. There's been a lot of things the Lord's been bringing out in individuals within the group, including myself, over the past 4 or 5 meetings that we've had. But I know he's refining, he's turning the heat up, he's getting the things out so we can edify each other more and more each week. And God is dealing with real issues like I've never seen when we were staring at the back of heads in chapel or a church, or when it was standing in the front ministering to people in the ministry and the worship teams and worship leader and so on and so forth. Let me just catch my thoughts here for a second. There were so many things that happened in the past month time. You know, we're sitting down, going back to the home church. The Lord's dealing with a lot of things. And I remember one day, I was sitting there. Let me back up. I'm sorry, I overlooked something. This is what I'm saying. There's so many things that happened. Prior to the first meeting with the home church that week, we really seriously got on our face before God and said, God, if this is you and you want us to start this home church, and you want us to call us out and have us do this and seek you completely and not seek man for answers, but go directly to you and start going into your word and seeking you for the answers, and you need to give us a sign, Lord. And I was praying fervently during that week's time. And I remember we were having a barbecue on a Saturday. My mother was there, my father was there, my wife, my 4 kids, a brother, Gary, who's sitting here with me, who's been staying with us. That's a whole other testimony within itself. A good Christian brother in the Lord. And, you know, we were sitting there, and I remember that the Spirit of God, we were talking about the things of the Lord that afternoon. My father, Gary, and I had having a conversation about the move of God that we've been seeing in our midst. And I looked over at my mom, and we began to talk to my mother and my wife, because they've had questions in regards to, you know, is this from God? Are we supposed to be doing a home church? Is this biblical? So on and so forth. And we've, you know, the Lord's been confirming things week after week to them. He's so gracious. I appreciate and thank the Lord for that. But we're sitting there, and I looked at my mother, and I spoke out. You know, God declared, He said, "Let there be," and there was light. I know this life and death and the power of the tongue, which is another testimony of something happened today. I'll get to that. But I spoke to my mother and my wife, and I said, "Look, God has put the same desire and burned the same message in my father and I's heart for over a month now. We must obey God. We are going to obey what God has told us to do, regardless, and let God be the one to confirm it." Right? I mean, as I said that and spoke that, my wife looked at me and said, "Will you look at that?" Now, we turned around, and my four-year-old daughter was standing at the chalkboard easel in our yard by the picnic table and wrote in big letters, "I am." Now, mind you, she had like 3 months of preschool and does not write. She does not know words. She knows a couple letters. She cannot. That was not her ability to do it. As God is my witness, I was floored. Needless to say, I mean, you know, that was amazing. And then my brother Gary looked at me about 10 minutes later. He says, "You know, the Bible does say, Matthew 18, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." And I have no words. I can't even describe how that felt in words, how I felt in that moment. I'll never forget that as long as I live. But this is one of the turn of events. I remember sitting there, and I remember thinking the next day in my office and working, you know, that the Lord used a lot to pick a replacement for the apostle for Jews in the Bible. You know, and I know if the Lord can be sovereign enough in the lot, you know, He can control the lot. And control the outcome of it. He can control anything. You know, and it's funny because the day that that happened, and this happened another time, I mean, almost a month, you know, almost 3 or 4 weeks gone by, and the Lord had been doing this over and over. I'd open the Bible, next time He'd give me the same verse again with a matter of hours, which with a different Bible. For instance, the other day, I got a call from a person, just I haven't heard from him in a while, and he asked me if I wanted to go and do this job for him. I said, "Sure." I mean, I'm always open. I'm always willing to help my brother. And I said, "God, you know, this is what he," and I think he was just offering because he thought, you know, we probably needed the money and whatever it might be. And he said, "You know, so I got this job. You want to come do it for the day? You'd be gone all day." I said, "Yeah, that's fine. It's the Lord willing, you know." So what I did is I got off the phone with him and I started praying to the Lord. I said, "God, I know You told me to spend the most of my time in prayer and reading the Word, and getting ready and preparing for the things for the home church and just being there to serve and obey You and go where You would tell us to do. And I believe You're going to take care of these things." So I didn't know if I was supposed to leave for the day, so I said, "I'm going to seek God on this." So I walked by. I was in the living room on the second floor of my house, and I walked over and I picked up my wife's Bible out of the loo and I flipped it open, and it fell open to John 21:15-17, where it said, So when they had broken their fast, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, lovest thou Me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto them, "Feed My lambs." And the Lord goes on again to say, "You know, do you love Me, Peter?" And Peter said, and he said, "You know, tend My sheep." And He asked him a third time. He says, "Simon, son of John, lovest thou Me?" Now Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou Me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus saith unto him, "Feed My sheep." Now, I know God has been burning the message to just stand in the gospel and preach and just share the true gospel with people. And He's brought many people by, a number of people by every other day between Gary, myself, and just different aspects, my dad at work. There's different people that are crossing our paths and praying these things that God would open up doors. Now, all that to say, when I read that scripture, I took it as a confirmation that I was supposed to, A, spend time in the Word, B, not disappear for the whole day. But I said, let me just think about this a little bit, make sure this is God. So I went into the kitchen because I was on lunch break. My office, my company was run out of a different floor of my building. So I went up into the kitchen. I was cooking some lunch. And while lunch was cooking, I had time to do something else, so I figured it would be a good time to spend a little bit more time in the Word while it was quiet and the phone wasn't ringing. I went down to my office, I grabbed my Bible, not my wife's, came up to the kitchen, flipped my Bible open, put my finger down, opened my eyes, and lo and behold, John 21, verses 15, that's where my finger fell again. I at this point, I understood clearly that what God was saying, and the funny thing is I didn't go the next day. I obeyed God. God brought a job, and it didn't take up the whole day. It took me like a couple hours. I was free for the rest of the day, and it was three times the amount of money that I would have made if I had left for the whole day. So God showed me it was a 300% increase in what I would have made, but just obeying Him. You know, there's amazing things that are going on, and I've been sharing these things with my wife. We've been learning a lot of things through understanding what it means to just believe. Just to share with everybody out there listening, everything that the Word ever said, everything that the Lord ever said was so true. And it's amazing. If you believe in your heart, if you truly believe and you stand on the Word of God and you abide in Christ, Christ abides in you, He's a man of His Word. Our God is a living God. The Word of God is living. It's real. I was standing last night. Let me back up another week and a half. I keep forgetting things that happened. My dad and I, we had read a chapter in Brother Dave's book about some of his brothers down in Florida there, wherever they were. And one of the testimonies was of Dave when the washing machine had broken his house and he had his kids go over and lay hands on it and it came back to life. It was powerful. And we remember also there was a testimony where brother didn't have the money or whatever reason it was. I hope I'm not misquoting this. I got to reread it again. But he was talking about he didn't have money. He had grubs or some problems with pests in his yard. And they spoke, took authority over it in the name of Jesus instead of going out with the bug spray and everything. And as of the next day or whatever it was, within soon, it was all gone. It was done. No more bugs. The end. Praise the Lord. So we're standing out front after church, you know, our gathering, our assembly about 2 weeks ago, two Sundays ago. My dad, we walk out front, my wife points out, there's a big hornet's nest above my porch, the end of the porch by the stairs. My wife's sitting there. She says, my wife looked at me and said, you know, we got any more of that hornet spray from last year? We got a lot of bugs up here in Massachusetts. I'm sure not as big as the ones in Florida, but we still have our share. We're sitting there, and my wife said, you know, go get some bug spray. I look at my dad. My dad looked at me, and I never forget what he said. He says, you know, you have faith and you believe. You speak it. Pray again. Pray that away. You know, you just take authority over it in Jesus' name. I said, Dad, it's just a hornet's nest. Now I wish God maybe eat those words. About 4 days ago, we walked out front. And my wife was sitting on the end of the porch. Right. Keep in mind, we did not pray it. That we walked away at that point. We had talked about it for about 10 seconds. Said, you know, yeah. I looked at my dad. I said, I believe we can do it, and didn't end up praying. Should have been obedient. Word of God says we should. I went over. My wife was sitting at the end of the porch. And she says, wow, look at that. And I looked over, and underneath the nest, on the ground, there was all 8 or 9 hornets were lying dead in the dirt right where that nest stood. And they were on the ground dead. And we never even prayed as good. And Lord, I felt the Spirit of the Lord show me this. It's, you know, believe what you need to believe. You need to stand. You need to believe in the Word of God. You need to believe everything that He says is true. Don't walk in unbelief. Walk, stand in faith. Faith is a mustard seed. You cast that mountain into the sea. You know, we were talking, for instance, this morning. I'll give you an example. This is something that happened today, and morning and evening. We were sitting there this morning in church, having church, and we were talking about things, and my dad, Ron, brought in the scripture about the tongue and the power, the light, and the power of the tongue. We began to read in James, and we got through James, and we were reading that, and we were reading in James about the tongue and the power of it to move it like it's the rudder of a ship, and that it can cast things on fire. I mean, you know, it'll set fire to things. It's a very evil part of the body. And my dad looked at me and he says, you know. And Gary was sitting on one side, my wife and mother were sitting on one side, my dad was sitting on the other side, we had kids all around, and my dad looked at me and says, do you remember where that scripture was? It says there was life and death, and life and death in the power of the tongue, or death and life in the power of the tongue. And I said, you know, I don't remember, I have no idea where that was. I know it's in there, it says that. So I believe it, I know it says that. I just can't remember, I haven't read that one in a while. And Gary was flipping, my dad and I are flipping through the concordance in the back of our Bible, looking up, tongue and seeing if it would pull up the scripture and that, but it didn't have it listed. And Gary looks over at me just right out of the side of his mouth. He says, well, hey, why don't you just flip it over and God's going to give us the verse. He looked at me. He's like, test. And I said, you know, I said, well, okay. I remember the first thing is out of my mouth. I started to speak in unbelief. I said, you know, well, usually I feel led to do this. If something gives me an unction to do it, then I do it. And I caught myself right then and there, realized that unbelief was coming from my mouth. So immediately I quieted down. I shut my mouth. I said, yes, Lord. I opened my Bible, put my hand down, and I'm looking on the page, and I'm reading the beginning, the first column in Proverbs 18. I mean, I'm looking through here, and I'm like, you know, I know the verse, and I knew in my spirit, I knew by the Holy Spirit, I just knew that I was on the right page. I said, God, because I felt like after all these times and all the times I've testified to people in the last month, and I mean to many people, and everybody's looking at me like, yeah, right. you prayed, and God answered it when you put your finger down in the Bible. I said, I swear, and every time I ask Him, He confirms it again. And I really felt that that moment, that was a moment of faith. The rubber met the road. I obeyed God. I put my hand down. And then Gary speaks up and says, yeah, it's Proverbs 18:21. I said, oh, yeah, right. And I moved my hand one column over, and there was my finger on it. I was in the wrong column. I was on the right page, though. God had opened the Word to that very page. Now, this evening, we had a brother, good friends of ours, awesome brother in the Lord, has been warning us for years about things coming and seeing the signs of the times and loves the Lord and hates evil and just loves the things of God. Remember when he threw his TV out a few years ago, I thought he was crazy, but I understand what he meant now. I don't think I've watched it in 2 months myself, except a couple of Christian things. That's a whole other story. But we were sitting down at the picnic table, and his wife's like, yeah, right. And she didn't believe it. It just went through a really a very trying time in their life of something, a tragedy that happened, and I know it's a very trying time to think of anything joyous at this time for them. My brother Brian was sitting there, and he grabbed Brother Gary's Bible. We were sitting out back, and Gary was looking through some scriptures in the Old Testament, Ezekiel and Psalms and different places. And my brother Brian picked over, and he flipped the Bible open. I saw him. I saw him in the corner of my eye. I was sharing something with him, and I saw him look out of the corner of his eye, flip the Bible open blindly, put his finger down, and then opened his eye and looked at what he saw. And lo and behold, he was on the page of Proverbs 18, the same page in the Bible. Now, about this time, in his mouth dropped, he looked at me. I said, see, I'm telling you, I'm not lying. This has been happening for almost 45 days now. Every time we open something, God confirms another one. Last night, prior to that, last night I remember going to bed, I was up talking to my wife for about an hour and a half, and she's being 5 months pregnant, has this problem with... it's like an indigestion thing that happens, like a heartburn, but it's not, and it's very painful for her. She has it through every pregnancy we have. This is going to be our fifth daughter, so I mean, you know, we've been through this a couple times. And she was standing there. I mean, we were lying in bed, and she immediately, when she said that, I felt immediately led to pray for her and lay hands on her. And that's definitely God when He does that, because I don't feel like that most of the time while praying for people. In that aspect, it's not something that I feel led to do all the time. I'll just leave it at that. It's something that it's inspired by God. When He says to do it, I do it. And then normally things get fixed. Things get healed. Praise the Lord. And I knew that if I laid hands on her, that she'd be healed, because I just believe it. I know that. And I know that God is speaking and moving through us, and the signs shall follow them that believe. And I'm reading the Word. I said, you know, I believe this, Father. Thank you. Forgive me for my unbelief. Now, my wife came back. She went to the bathroom to get some medicine or something. Now, this medicine normally takes about 20 minutes to kick in. I said, you know, I'm asking God. I'm lying in bed trembling because I wasn't obedient immediately. I waited 15 seconds. I said, Lord, heal my wife. I laid hands on the wife and said, in Jesus' name, come into alignment. I just pray for healing right now. In your name, Lord, I lose healing in her. In the name of Jesus Christ. And lo and behold, like a minute later, it left. It was gone. She said, that's amazing, because normally she's tormented for hours. Now, about 20 minutes later, it came back again. And I just instantly, I got stirred. I stood up out of bed. I walked over to the side of her bed. I laid hands on her. I said, I commanded you to go in Jesus' name. And it left, and she was free, and never came back. Praise the Lord. That was the way I went to bed, and we woke up this morning. It was the same thing. God was dealing with me with unbelief again today when Brother Gary said, well, just flip it. Now, I think, we talked about that after, and we laughed about it a little, and we looked at what the thoughts went through each other's head and just tried to get some discernment and understanding of what God was trying to do. Because we always try to ask, God, what are you doing, God? What is the lesson you're trying to teach? Where are we wrong? What are we doing? What do you want us to do? We're always seeking God in everything, especially these days. The Lord has been so good. He's moving so real. He's so living. What else here? Let me think. Oh, yes, Brother Gary just reminded me something. You know, thank you, brother. I've also been praying lately because I see that God... Yes, this brings up a couple more things to my remembrance. Thank you, Lord. The God speaks to people in dreams. I know I don't have to say that, all you listening out there, you know, especially to the brothers down at 11 Bread Ministries, and we appreciate you guys and how God is just moving through dreams and visions and testimonies and just moving miraculously. My prayer to God that lately at nighttime has been, Lord, I don't want a moment to go by in my existence on this earth and I'm not hearing from you. I want to hear from you in my dreams, when I'm asleep, when I'm awake, at all moments. That night I had a dream, and this is about, what was that, 4 or 5 nights ago, Gary? 4 days ago, about 4 days ago. And I had a dream that I was standing there preaching to a multitude of people, to a group of people that I can't remember the faces on the people, but I remember that I was just impressed so hard to just instill in them of how true the Word of God was. The Word of God is real. This Word is living. It's real. It's alive. It's not a book of stories. The Word of God is true. I remember speaking that over and over again to these people. And I remember that morning I got up and I was quite shaken by this. And I said, wow, that was a pretty vivid dream. And I'm not one to normally ever dream. And I said, wow, I did. I prayed to God last night. Then I had this dream. What does this mean, God? So I began to share it. Brother Gary and I had to go to get some brakes. I had to do a brake job on my van because they were grinding. And I remember driving to the store with Gary, and I started to share that dream with him. And all of a sudden, it looked like he'd seen about 25 ghosts came across his face. His mouth dropped. His eyes bugged out of his head. And he looked at me and says, say that again. And I said, the Word of God is true. He says, that's the same dream I had last night. And it woke him up at about 3 a.m. in the morning. He was repeating that phrase when he became conscious. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is true. He had the same dream. I said, wow, this is getting... God, what are you confirming here? He's been confirming everything in twofold and threefold lately. It's amazing. I could go on and on and on and on. This is endless. This is about half of what's happened in the past few months, literally, in the amount of things that have happened. You know, I really felt led. And on that note as well, there's one more thing I must share. I really felt impressed for the past couple of weeks to email a testimony to Unlimited Bread Ministries, and just to thank Brother Eels and Brother Dave and all the guys, April and everybody, that for being faithful, for writing this book. Is, you know, in my opinion, this book helped me to see things in the Word of God, and through this, the Word of God has changed my life. It's added clarity to my life and given me the direction finally, and confirmations, and the reality of God moving. After those who believe that I've always known was real, but I've just never seen it like this, live, manifested in a physical way. I felt led to write this testimony and email it to the brothers. And this was a couple of days ago, which in Turner. And that night when we were sitting, Brother and Gary and I were sitting here in my office where I'm at now, on the other floor of my house, and I was sitting there and studying and reading and listening to a study online and that, I think from Brother Eels, and I just had this vision. I don't know if it's a vision that would be the right word, but I saw very clearly me sitting here in my chair sharing this testimony on this Bible study on the radio. And I was sitting there, and I was trying to stay focused. I was in the middle of reading the Word, and like 4 minutes later, I get an email from David Ells asking me just that. I just about fell out of my chair. Now, God is working in an ominous and very real ways. I just want to give Him all the glory, and I want everybody I know out there to take hope, take heart. Our Lord is real. His Word is living. There's nothing that is not truth in Him. He is so real in our lives. I love all of you. I love you in Christ. And I just hope this has been a blessing to you. there's been many bondages that have tormented my life being a musician without having to get into a lot of details that have been just absolutely radically delivered this year alone in my life. And I'm just so grateful to God. I'm grateful, you know. Those who have ears, let them hear. Those who have eyes, let them see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us in His Word, because God's Word, every single word of it was there for a reason. I believe today, I know that I believe today, and for the first time in my walk as a Christian in almost 20 years, I know that He abides in me by the testimony of the Holy Spirit and the confirmations that He has just been so gracious and merciful to show us lately. And it all started, keep in mind, I cannot leave this out, when what happened was we began to worship God in spirit and in truth. We began to ask God, like in Psalms 51, where David said at the end, you know, search my heart, Lord, know my anxious thoughts, try me. If there's any way, you know my anxious thoughts, and lead me in the way everlasting. I know I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me. What David was saying was, you know, Lord, search my heart. If there's any way that's not of you, remove it from me, and cause me to walk in the way that's everlasting, to abide in you. That's how I take that. And he began to pray that in spirit and in truth, honestly, Lord, anything that's not of you, instantly. I mean, he delivered me from watching movies all the time every night. I haven't even been able to look at a TV in 2 months, except a couple Christian teachings that we watched. That's pretty much it. I think we watched the Ten Commandments once. I know, like last Sunday, for instance, I sat and watched the last of the British Open because I play golf, I love golf, and I like football. At the end of that, the Holy Spirit was so grieved. I felt such a grieving of the Holy Spirit. I felt like I was 2 months before, totally dead and unable to hear from God. I had to repent from it. And it's not that TV is evil, but it was an idol in my life that God wanted me to deal with, and He wants my obedience. When we began to obey God in everything that He showed us to do, we began to see His hand move mightily and in a very real way. I just hope that this has been helpful to some of you. I just had to share this. Is there anything I'm forgetting, Gary? That about sum it up. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Thank you, Darren. That's a good testimony. The Lord is really just—we can tell He's just really come alive in your life. That's wonderful. Praise God. What's the advantage of knowing that God is so sovereign He can cause a page to come up and your finger to land right on a verse several times in a row like that? You know, what's the advantage of knowing that God is that sovereign? Well, you know, a couple of things the Lord really pointed out to me in my own experience was that the fear of the Lord is restored to a person that understands that God is that sovereign in their life, that they can actually receive nothing except it come from heaven. You know, Christian society, especially here in the United States, has become so Arminian that they don't believe God is absolutely sovereign to bring anything and everything into their life. So they don't fear God when judgments happen, when spankings come. They just point it to the old devil, you know, who's persecuting them because they're so good, right? But when they come to realize, no, it's not the devil that's in control, it's God that's in control. He's the one that's sovereign. And He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Nobody restrains His hand. Then you begin to learn a lesson from the things that happen to you in life instead of just pass it off, you know. On top of that, the kind of faith that comes into people who understand that God is sovereign and that He cannot be resisted and that He's given that authority unto them and that He stands behind them when they speak words to bring forth these promises. The faith. I would say fear and faith are two of the greatest side effects of the understanding that God is sovereign. Faith begins to fill people. It's a great foundation for the faith revelation. You know, there's a lot of people out there teaching faith. But this is an awesome foundation for that faith. You know, you believe that the devil can't do anything to thwart God's will, you know. And if you stand for God and you speak His words, you're just a vessel for Him to speak it through you and bring it to pass, right? Thank you. Thank you, Darren. That's great. And the sovereignty of God also can deliver you from long-held bondages, like Darren pointed out about the cigarettes, you know. This kind of thing puts a great respect in you, you know, to know that the Lord wants us to live a holy life, you know. And I thank God for that good testimony, Darren. Thank you very much. God bless you. I believe Curtis Hughes has something to share.
Yeah, hi, Dave. How you doing? I had a short testimony about something that happened a couple of weeks ago, and I wasn't going to share it, maybe because I, you know, my foolish pride. A couple of weeks ago, when this war started over in the Middle East, I just felt a stirring in the spirit to ask God if this was something that, if this was the beginning of His final move, and I just really felt led to ask the Lord to give me, like Darren, and Darren, that was a great testimony, and I just asked the Lord to just confirm to me whether or not this move over in the Middle East was the beginning of His final move on this world. And a verse that came, a scripture that came to my mind was, it's in Luke 21, where the Lord talked about beginning to look up, because our redemption, when these things come to pass, look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. And so it was just on my heart to just ask the Lord whether or not we could begin to start looking up. And I asked Him if He would just start to, if He would just confirm His word to me also. By giving me a verse that talked about looking up, or just anything that had to deal with up. And I guess it sounded kind of foolish in my mind to ask God that, but I asked Him. And I did the same thing that Darren did. It was just on my heart to do it, and I don't usually do that. Until now, it's always just been something that I've heard other people do, and something that the Lord used to confirm His word to them. And I never expected it to really happen to me. I never expected to do things like that, you know, much like with what Darren said. So anyway, I just asked the Lord, and I felt like I was making it hard on the Lord to do such a thing, maybe because I didn't want to believe that this was His final move, because it speaks of we know that the final move of the Lord involves the great tribulation, the beginning of the great tribulation, the imminency of it. And so anyway, it was on my heart to do it, and I did it. And I said, Lord, would You give me a verse where You talk, about up, or looking up, or anything that has to do with up? And so He gave me Jonah 1:12, and I'm going to post it here. I'm the poster tonight. So that was the verse right there. And He said to them, take Me up. And so you can imagine how I was feeling at this time, because like I said, I've never done this before. And this is the verse that He gave me. And then I had to fight my mind after that, because my mind was trying to tell me that this was just a big coincidence, and I really had to fight that type of thinking. Now, this happened just a couple of weeks ago when this war began over in the Middle East. And I said, Lord, I said, I'm having to fight my mind now, because this is trying to tell me that this is just a coincidence. I said, but I believe that You're sovereign. I believe that there's not anything that You don't have authority over. There's not anything that is not under Your power to do. And that you control all things. And I'm sorry for asking You again, God. I am so sorry, and I just pray that You give me another verse where You talk about up, or something that has to deal with looking up, or anything with up. And He gave me this verse here. He gave me Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, both times, even before I'd received the Jonah verse, I just closed the scriptures, you know, like Darren said, and, you know, before I opened the scripture, I was praying and asking God, and then I just opened it, and I closed my eyes, I put my finger down, and I got Jonah 1:12. And then the second time I prayed again, I just closed the scriptures, and then I opened it, and I put my finger down, and I got Romans 8:11. And wouldn't you know it, my mind still wanted to fight me. It still fought me and wanted me to believe that, ah, this is just a coincidence. You know, you're even crazy to be doing this. You know, what kind of faith is this? You know, just all kind of thoughts that I had to fight off, and, you know, I had to take them captive, you know, and, you know, I was stunned after the second verse, because I just knew in my spirit that the Lord was definitely confirming what I was believing and feeling in my heart, that He was moving, that this move that has begun over there is of God. This is the beginning of God's final move. And yes, we can begin to look up, and we can begin to see the birth of the man child and things that we know are coming, the imminency of all things. And if that wasn't enough, after the second verse, I began to praise God. I thanked Him. And even after that, that second verse that He gave me, I still felt like I had to fight myself again. I still had to fight my mind. And I'm kind of embarrassed to say this, but it just, to me, shows me how hard it can be for us to believe God. And so I said, Lord, I said, this is just fantastic, and I thank You and I praise You, Lord. I said, Lord, however I'm finding that I'm still fighting myself, and I'm very sorry for my attitude, Lord. I just pray that You just have mercy on me. I said, Lord, I'm going to close this Bible again. I'm going to close it again. And I just pray that, Lord, if you would just confirm again, Lord, what it is that you've really already confirmed. I said, would You allow me to close the scripture and open it up to Jeremiah 25? I said, I'm just going to close the scripture, Lord, and I'm just going to open it up, and I pray that You would allow me to open it right to Jeremiah 25, not any particular verse, but to Jeremiah chapter 25. And that's exactly what happened. I turned it, I closed it, and I opened it again, and I was staring right at Jeremiah 25. And by this time, I was fit to be tied, because there was no, all of a sudden, the doubt and all the attacks that my mind had before, they were gone. And I'm a gregarious type of guy, and when things like this happen, I try to find somebody to hug, because I just get overjoyed. And I was just, you know, my spirit was, I was leaping for joy, you know, in my spirit, because just the way that God had confirmed this, what I had been thinking in my spirit, what I had been feeling. And just Friday, Rebecca, who's in the room here, she came into my room, and she told me about her website or her blog, and it was like a third confirmation, really. And let me see. I think she's in the room here. I don't have that link. I've been giving out her link all day. I just there's a link, a blog that she has, where she talks about the things that have been going on over in the Middle East, and how that war, it hadn't started by accident. And she goes into a little bit of the history of the Ninth of Av. I don't know if Dave is planning on talking about that tonight, but just the historical ramifications of the 9th of August and what it means in Jewish history. It's historically been a day of calamity. She talked a little bit about the fact that it was 3 weeks before the 9th of Av that this war began, had some significance too, and it was like another confirmation. And I'm just saying this so that you guys are encouraged. You know, I just pray that it encourages you guys. We can finish the race strong, you know, because God, He's definitely moving. We can begin to look up. You know, we can leave this world. We can really run and finish the race strong now. You know, we can finish and run. We can finish it strong. You know, let us encourage one another to fight, you know, to fight to get to overcome and fight and to look forward to the birth of the man-child. Look forward to that because it's imminent, and I'm just convinced. And I just have one more request, and I let go of the mic. There was a sister that came into my room Friday night, and I want to take the opportunity to thank the chat room people who are in here tonight, you know, because I know a little of what, you know, we go through. You know, sometimes there are people who come in and some people who they want to take their life. And, you know, it's up to you to, the Lord is using you to share the gospel with them. Well, that's exactly what happened. Friday, a woman came into my room and she PM'd me. I wasn't in the room at the time because it was during the time that I sleep. And she PM'd me and she said that she wanted to take her life and, you know, her pain was just too much and she was undergoing an affliction and she wanted to pray. And when I woke up the next morning and saw that PM, it just so happens that she came right online shortly after I read that PM and she came into our room. And the brethren that were in there at the time were able to encourage her and to share the gospel with her. We prayed over her. And it seemed like the Lord was, even after we prayed, you know, it seemed like the Lord was working. And I haven't heard from her yet. And her name is Cora, and her username is Pray For Me Pray. And she asked us to pray for her three daughters, Miranda, Melissa, and Monique. Melissa, and Monique. And that if we would pray for her. And Dave, I just asked that if you could pray for her, and if you would remember that when I give you the mic back. And also, there's a praise report that there's another sister. Her name was Little Bit, and Dave, you prayed for her. She came in the room, she was prayed for, and she relayed to me that her prayer was answered. The prayer was for a husband who was going back in the world. He was going back into drinking, and he was wanting to join a motorcycle gang. And she came in today, and she told me that that prayer was answered, and God delivered her husband from going back into the world. And so praise God for that. And thank you for letting me have the mic. God bless. Oh, you know what? My mom is listening, too. My mom and my niece, and it seems like God is working in the life of my family, and one by one, just bringing them into the kingdom of God. And so she's here tonight, and I praise God for that. And so God is really working, and He's definitely moving. And so I hope that you guys are encouraged by that. And God bless all of you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Curtis. Good testimony. Thank you, Father. And we don't want to forget to pray for Cora and her daughters and say hello to Curtis's mom. Hi, Mom. How you doing? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you've given us wisdom to help Cora and her daughters, Lord, that you've given us authority, too, on this earth, Lord, and we're your princes down here. And so we thank you, Lord. We take that authority today. And we come against this spirit of suicide in Cora in Jesus' name. We forbid you suicide. We break your power over Cora. You go from her. Depression, discouragement, you go from her. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask you to draw Cora, Lord, to put it in her a great desire to devour your word, devour your new covenant, Lord, that you just put it in her heart and draw her and cause her to run after you for her daughter's sake too, Lord. And we ask you to draw them too, Father, to put your love and your peace and your grace in them and pick them up and just restore this family, Father. Let them know the great hope of your calling. Let them know of the wondrous things you're about to do in these days to restore, to heal, to deliver your people from bondage in Egypt. Let them know these things, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, I think Kevin tried earlier, but we're going to try it again. See if Kevin can come through and share his testimony with us.
All right. Praise God. Well, sorry about that interruption earlier. Prayed with Brother Bill in agreement, and the Lord's making sure everything works out fine. I have to say that I'm just floored by these testimonies. You know, the Bible says he overcame them by the testimony. There is so much strength in hearing these wonderful testimonies from your brothers. And Darren, I just got off the phone with Darren, talking with Darren about things, and got a wonderful brother there in Massachusetts to talk about wonderful things that are happening. And well, I don't even know where to start. Initially, when I had tried to come in the room earlier, I wanted to give a testimony report on a brother that we prayed for this past Wednesday named Ben Meyer. He had had a massive heart attack late Tuesday night, and I just wanted to give a report back on that, that Ben is doing well, he's recovering. He had over 90% of his arteries blocked, and so it's amazing what the Lord can do when we come together in faith and in agreement. So he's back to his old self, and he's up and reading his Bible, and I'm sure it's going to be a testimony to the doctors and the nurses there. So he just wanted to extend his thanks to all the people that prayed for him, and wanted to thank them, of course, the Lord. All glory to the Lord, as Brother Ben was healed at the cross. So just wanted to give that positive report there. So praise the Lord. Just as when Darren was talking, and also Curtis, and Brother Kurt there in Pensacola, and also Brother Bob, it reminded me also of some things that the Lord's been doing in my walk as we learn to grow in faith. And one of the things, Brother, the Bible, and I think Brother Curtis also mentioned this, and just pointing your finger down, and there was an answer from the Lord. Well, the Lord moved us out to New Mexico almost 2 years ago from Ohio, and I asked the Lord a rhetorical question about 3 weeks ago, and I said, Lord, I said, why did you send us out here to the desert in New Mexico? And it's really neat. You know, if you have the faith to believe, the Lord will, he will show you these things. And I heard a still small voice in my head, and I heard the scripture, Mark 6:31. And I'll go ahead and read that real quick. And it, you know, it's pretty, the Lord's right to the point when he answers too. And basically what stuck out, and I'll just read the scripture, it says, and he saith unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. And those scriptures just jumped out to me, and I realized, well, you know, that's exactly what we've been doing here. We found out about Brother David's ministry back, you know, 11 Bread Ministry back in December. We learned about how faith really works. We learned how the gospel really is. And when those dots got connected, as some of you know, I got healed of sleep apnea, a back injury in the left knee when you brothers prayed for me all instantly. I also got a truck that had the front end of my truck got healed. Since then, I've been praying over computers and servers and technical problems and whatnot. And God's been, he's been healing this stuff. Impossible things in the flesh. He's been just doing these wonderful things, and I just want to praise him for that, because we came out in the desert to learn how to rest in Jesus. Prior to this, we had thought the Saturday Sabbath was how we needed to rest, because that's what so-and-so told us. But the Lord gave us grace on that. And we learned that, no, we need to rest in Jesus. And that is the true rest, to come into the perfect rest of Jesus Christ 24/7. And trusting in him and in his word and the power of his word, it's been amazing. So that scripture there, go into the desert and rest a while. It's just amazing. So anyway, we're getting ready to move again. We're going to be moving to Utah. And we're very excited about that, because it's sort of like we went through a little boot camp here. We learned how to rest, but now we're going into another area, and we do covet your prayers on that. But I just wanted to praise the Lord, because these testimonies are just awesome. You know, to understand the full gospel is power. You know, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power, Paul said. You know, and I'm just so excited and very encouraged to hear your all's testimonies. So with that, I just want to say God bless you all, and I pray that the Lord continues to grow our faith. I want to thank Brother David, Brother Bob, and Brother Bill, and Kurt, and all the people there in the Unleavened Bread Ministries, and all you brothers and sisters out there, because we're all one family. And just praise God. God bless you.